This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Brisky,
featuring former FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, Robin Dreek.
The trial of Adam Montgomery for the murder of his daughter, Harmony Montgomery, set to take place February 6th of 2024, just a little bit over a month from right now. His attorneys and himself arguing that, well, there should be some stuff not included in evidence when this does go to trial, some of that being lime and other items purchased at a Home Depot that coincidentally were purchased right around the same time there were Google searches for things like dismembering bodies and how to hide body parts, things of that nature. Not suspicious whatsoever. And the mounting evidence that continues to climb up against him, including a witness that lived with him, his ex, saying, "I helped hide the body." Adam still saying, "I am not the one. I did not kill Harmony Montgomery, my daughter." Joining us to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent. At what point does someone like Adam Montgomery raise his hands in the air and just say, "Look, I did it. I should have been lying about this." I mean, some people seem that they'll just take it to their grave no matter how hard evidence, no matter how hard the hard evidence is against them.
Yeah, you'd wish he'd do that, wouldn't you? It's interesting, you know, we've been talking about a few cases of people in recovery, and the best thing they could do is just own their behavior and just admit to it so they can move on and start life anew. And especially him, it's been accused. He's been accused or presumed to have a lot of drug issues and everything. And he's just in a lot of, he's in a need of a lot of recovery. I don't think he's going to admit it, at least anytime soon, that he did it. Because once we fall in love with our own lie, it's very hard for us to tell ourselves we lied. Mm-hmm. We, as human beings, you know, once you say something, it's very hard for us to go back against what we said, because we don't like doing that to ourselves. Our brains only like to be self-validated, especially with our own words. And so it's a very hard thing for someone to do unless you have your own, as they say, come to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's going to get it, but this guy just needs to go away a long time. He just did such heinous things to that poor little girl. Ugh. Horrible.
Without
horrible.
A doubt. I mean, it's one of those where it's fascinating because it makes you wonder, how does this person's mind work? How is this functioning in this sort of way? How is it not functioning? But obviously it's doing something. Is this kind of a situation where, you know, it's essentially on the surface, you end up believing your own lie? Or I guess in a little more detail of, is this someone who's telling himself, maybe he didn't intend to kill her. Maybe it was an accident. He had a history of abuse with her. Maybe it went too far one day and he ended up taking her life. And then he didn't want to take responsibility for it, so he gets rid of the body. Is this something where, in his mind, he didn't kill her, it was an accident, and nobody else is understanding that, and no one else ever will. So this is how he's able to kind of move forward in this weird aura of confidence and state out to the world and to the jury and to the judge, "I did not kill my daughter." It almost becomes a matter of semantics than it actually does the actions that took place in terms of verbiage.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on all that. That was really good, Tony.
Thanks. Just,
yeah, it's interesting with some of these characters. For some reason, and I haven't, you know, I got to keep staring at him and watching his behavior and watching and listening to his words. For some reason with him, I think he can't face what he did. I really just, and that's why he's perpetuating this lie and denial. I think he hates himself so much. Again, pure conjecture.
Yeah.
I just get that feeling from him. He's lived such a tragic life, not because he's been victimized. He victimized himself, and he's done really bad things to himself and to others. This is like the pinnacle of what he's done. I think he's just at a point he can't face who he is to himself. And that's why we're seeing this, which is exactly what you said. That's why I don't think he's going to admit to anything until he can say to himself, this is the hardest thing to do for people that have done horrible things, is in order for them to start that process of healing others, healing yourself, and you just got to own it. You got to look in the mirror and let go of the shame and say, "I suck. I did it. I got to move on."
I mean, another example, probably a little bit more extreme example, would be like Lori Vallow Daybell.
Exactly what I was thinking.
Who believes, you know, the kids are working at the Costco in heaven. And the reasoning that, that goes into someone's mind as a defense mechanism, essentially, because the brain can't function or can't handle the gravity of what one did. So it essentially, is it like a kill switch, or like it's tripping itself in some other direction? Because if you went that far and you fully realized and grasped the gravity of what took place, would it be pretty much self-destruction mode at that point, or just too much to handle?
Yeah, Vallow is different. That's I was thinking exactly the same case as you were on that one. She's different because, again, I'm not a licensed clinician, so I don't know the exact phraseology of this, but she's got a psychosis.
Yeah.
She's nuts. You know, I'll use my layman term. She's nuts.
Yeah.
And so she is rationalizing her behavior, but through a storyline she's created in her head long before she killed the kids.
Yeah.
Because she's got this wacky psychosis. She's high on psychopathy, you know, all the things that we're saying. And for her, it's a malformation and chemical imbalances in the brain that did it. There seems to be no indication of drug use. This guy, Adam, on the other hand, I don't think it's the same. You know, we're dealing with someone that was taking actions that appear, my conjecture is, they were drug induced, mm-hmm. whether in the moment itself or just in a time period. I mean, his brain, it wasn't thinking, it wasn't working as human brains should be, because the chemical imbalances that are that were in place are there a long time. And here's how we know it's there a long time. We've said this before too in the show, the fact that poor little girl wasn't reported missing or missed for a couple years, that means he doesn't have healthy relationships in his life that would miss that little girl. Yeah. Why doesn't he have healthy relationships in that life? Because his life arc has destroyed all the healthy relationships in his life long before the little girl was murdered. So that shows you that there's a lot of unhealthy things, whether it's chemically induced or not, that were going on in his life long before the murder. That's why she wasn't missed for a while.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.